Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse, where she'll get more time to talk here than she does on Fox News Channel on July 4th. We'll talk about it.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Steve Voss would come and take it, and Penny Dean, Second Amendment Tuesdays, our attorney here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse to talk about your Second Amendment rights, 1-866-823-1077. Hi, Penny.
Hey, how are you?
Woohoo! Doing good. Had a nice Independence Day weekend. Hope you did, too.
I did. I get to, you know, spend a lot of time in this fine car driving back and forth to Boston. And
yes, for short TV segments.
Yeah, my version is that I was told it'd be a half hour to an hour. The reality is I have 4 minutes, or according to you, who has it, 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, which is kind of,
because I took the audio and chopped it up to the precise moments of the introduction of the segment to the very end of the segment, of the topic at hand.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it was clear to me, which was really disappointing, that had I been told the format, I would have jumped right in and fought with those boys. But I was understanding it was a roundtable discussion where you get asked in turn, you know, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, and that isn't quite how it went.
No. Here's a little bit of how it went, if I may take some of this time, Penny.
Absolutely.
This is from Fox News Channel. I forget who the lady's name is filling in for Geraldo Rivera, but this was Geraldo at Large program.
Fresh off the Supreme Court ruling that restricts local governments from banning guns, one town in New Hampshire is going a step further. The Nottingham, New Hampshire Board of Selectmen has approved a measure that would allow employees to carry guns to work. Is this a good idea? Joining me now is Penny Dean, General Counsel for Gun Owners of New Hampshire, attorney and former homicide detective Ted Williams, and criminal defense attorney with me, Arthur Idala, here in New York, and prosecutor Doug Burns. Now, let me go to Penny. Penny, I want a little background on this. It's my understanding that in New Hampshire, you get to carry a gun based on an application, or does a judge have to sign the permit? What's the law in New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire, RSA 159.6, 1 and 2 basically comprises our licensing statute. And what happens is in each particular town, either the selectman or the chief of police, whoever's been designated, handle license application. It's a one-page application.
Let's say I come in, I want to buy a 38. I go and I file an application. I've never been in a mental institution. I'm not crazy and I don't have a criminal record. Do I get a gun?
Well, that's two separate processes, okay? Number one, if you're a New Hampshire resident, in other words, you have a New Hampshire driver's license.
Right.
You're a lawful New Hampshire resident. You intend to remain a resident. You reside here, either own a home or rent a home or something like that. You go to a firearm store, a federally licensed firearms dealer. You fill out a 4473, which is a universal form filled out throughout the United States from a licensee.
Then what? Penny?
They call the New Hampshire State Police. Now, every state is a little different. In New Hampshire, for
Penny,
example.
Penny, because I want to get to the other guests here, what I want to know is if you don't have a criminal record and you don't have any kind of mental problem, does the sheriff then approve it? Who ultimately decides if you get to carry a weapon? And is it supposed to be concealed or can it be a full carry?
Well, first of all, it depends on who's been designated in a given town. Either the chief of police or the selectmen are the people that decide. number one. And if you disagree with their decision, you can sue them.
Appeal. All right. Let me go to Arthur Idala. Let's assume.
And that's the end of Penny Dean, to which she is never heard from again in the remaining 2.5 minutes in that segment. Whoo! why would she even ask you a question if she's not going to let you answer it? I mean, she went down two different roads with that. Holy cow.
And you want me to tell you the really sad thing? I spent probably an hour and a half educating their prep person before the interview, because it was clear that their knowledge of firearms, they needed some education.
Right.
And
clear
so,
by the questioning, too.
Right. And I tried to explain to her, I said, look, you're asking me, well in advance of the interview, I said, you're asking me two separate questions. I can answer them both. I can answer one. But you're presuming that I have to have a quote-unquote permit to purchase. You do not.
Right, exactly.
And they couldn't seem to get their hands around that or comprehend that. And I think it's because in some areas you do have to have a permit to purchase. And I explained to them, we're in live free or die. and not only that, those states that have that, like I'm from Michigan, okay? You had a 7-day window to go buy your darn gun.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you had to go back to the sheriff and say, Mother, may I again? Give me another 7-day leeway, you know. And so the bottom line is those states are no safer. As a matter of fact, New Hampshire is one of the safest states in the nation.
Yep.
And I'm really kind of upset how what I call the mainstream media is portraying it, that the Nottingham Board of Selectmen is going to allow residents to carry guns. They can already carry guns now. What they're doing is removing the prohibition from Nottingham employees carrying guns while at work.
Right, because the rest of that discussion went on about carrying guns in the workplace, and the way that they left it on Fox News Channel was to give the implication that anybody who works in the town of Nottingham would be able to carry their guns to work. That is not what it was about. The story was that the Nottingham selectmen changed a policy that would allow the town employees to be able to carry to work.
Absolutely. And that's quite frankly, like I said, as it should be, because the bottom line that I see happening in the future is that more and more employees want the right to be able to defend themselves. You know, you take the horrible, horrible things that's happened in New Hampshire. You know, for example, in Colebrook, you know, the horrible massacre that occurred there.
Mm-hmm.
And if those individuals had had a firearm handy, the question is, could they have protected themselves? And, you know, the bottom line is in this particular case, and just because it's a town employer or a city employer or a village employer, you know, we have tons of employees throughout the country that carry firearms every day. They call them police officers.
Yes.
And then some people say, well, they get into training. If you ever look at the New Hampshire State Police Training Academy or police standards and trainings, when you actually talk about the firearm time that they're trained in, you'll see the average recreational shooter has that much training. And the bottom line in this particular incident is, why would you trust these people with a 20,000-pound weapon, which is a snowplow, you know, trust them with signatory authority for your accounts, and then say, oh, but we're afraid they're going to carry a firearm. What about workplace violence?
Yeah, right.
Right. And so the bottom line is, if you're one of these crazy people bent on going postal, did any of those people say, wait a minute, postal regulations are going to fire me if I take this firearm in here and shoot my fellow employees? Oh, God, I'm not going to do that today.
Well, you know, and to for the benefit of our listeners, too, the topic of guns in the workplace, which was not what the Supreme Court decision was about. They were trying to tie in the Nottingham story with the recent McDonnell decision out of Chicago, and, of course, out of the Heller decision out of Washington, D.C., which affirmed the individual's right to keep and bear arms, especially in their own homes. They're trying to tie these two together, and we've had callers. I think it was just last week we had a caller asking about being able to carry at work, and the short answer is yes, you can, unless your employer prohibits it.
And then, you know, the question is, do you want to risk being fired? The only other time that you quote-unquote can't is anyone anywhere can charge you or can ask you to leave if you have a firearm on their premises, or you can be charged with criminal trespass. By the same token, they can say no blonde women here, because blonde women are not a protected category. So tomorrow morning, if Walmart wanted to put a sign up that says no blonde women can come into this facility, they could do it. Now, the categories they could not, you know, prohibit would be religious categories and racial categories and categories that have been deemed protected by the U.S. and New Hampshire Supreme Court. But as far as they could say, no women in black pants. You know, they could say whatever they want. Now, of course, no rational business is going to do that because you're going to lose a whole lot of money.
You betcha.
You know, that's just plain crazy. But I think the issue in Nottingham is just something that was overdue, and the Board of Selectmen there are really quite being wise, because here's my position as an attorney. I hope to never have to take one of these cases, but if one of their employees were killed while on the job, okay, and they normally would carry a firearm to work every day, but they did not, this is in the old policy, because they didn't want to risk losing their job, and then they're killed or badly maimed at work, I think the selectmen have then taken on a duty to protect them, because what they've done is prohibit them from protecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the bottom line in this particular case.
Right. So if the person can't protect themselves, someone's got to try to protect them. And if the case can be made that those protections were not made, you know, to be quote unquote reasonable, I guess would be a standard that would be used, then they're liable.
That's exactly it. And the bottom line is, how many of us, you know, how many towns want to go to the expense of having this quote-unquote secure facility? In other words, you want to beat people in, you want to, you know, you want to have a metal detector at every facility, everywhere with people checking them at the door. I don't think you do, because statistics have shown that armed citizens make things safer. Now, are there guarantees in life about anyone? Absolutely not. You know, there's no more guarantee than that your car tire isn't going to blow out on the way to, you know, to take your wife to the hospital to have a baby.
Right.
You know, there's just a million things in life that can't be guaranteed. But I think, and some of the people, when it came to the McDonald case, are really pulling too much in. But I'll tell you what I see happening down the road. Down the road, the McDonald case has, you know, allowed it in the home, but they've really, really identified that it's a human right, that it's a self-defense right, you know, that they talked about the racial bias that went on for a while, where initially blacks weren't allowed to carry firearms, and different groups of people were selected to be treated differently. And I think the issue is going to become more and more, I hope, that the courts are recognizing this as a human right. And the minute you say, well, you can't carry it here, you can't carry it there, you can't carry it there, well, then if you got to strap it on and strap it off, you know, what good is it?
I got you. 1-866-823-1077. Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse. We'll continue the conversation. You're welcome to call in with your questions. We'll continue to talk with Penny on topics relating to Second Amendment rights right here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.